Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogan and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from the different disciplines, from downhill to cross country or from triathlon to gravel racing. In this episode, we talked with the newly crowned champion of enduro, Alex Rudeau. We talked about his kind of difficult season, his injury in the last off-season and of course his win in the World Championship. And we talk about his plans for the future. Hey Alex, thanks a lot for taking the time to do the podcast with us, and of course, congratulations for the for your world champion title in enduro.
Thank you. Thanks to you to host me.
So, how is life as a world champion?
Really busy, actually. Yeah, I have a lot of events who are coming that I was not expected before.
Okay.
So, yeah, I have a lot of travel to do now and races. So, yeah, it's kind of new life, and I'm also super busy about next year, searching sponsors and everything. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good position to talk to sponsors when you just got world champion, huh?
Exactly. With, with this kind of jersey, you know, everybody is looking at you. So yeah, it's a good thing for a sponsor to be on this jersey.
Yeah. So I mean, you've been in a similar position before. You won a lot of races, you won a whole series. What does this this win means for you to being on top of your sport and being well known for that?
First it means a lot of works, a lot of everything. I'm working on it since 2018 now, mm-hmm. because before I was doing bike trail, so mm-hmm. yeah, it's like super new for me on the road, and at the beginning I was not expecting to be world champion when I begin on the road, so yeah, it was just to have fun, enjoy myself with friends, and slowly when the results were growing up and I was coming better and better, mm-hmm. I was thinking more and more about this kind of result, mm-hmm. but world championship that doesn't exist before, so we learn about a world championship this year, mm-hmm. and at this time when we know that we will have a world championship, I said okay, I have to focus on it and try to win it. So it was my main goal.
Okay.
Since this time.
Okay.
And it means really, really much, so much things, because of the work that we did with the sponsors, the main part with Commensal, the Commensal Enduro project that we built 3 years ago. And the main goal was to build a bike who can be performant in race. Then we can sell to the consumers. So mm-hmm. I think we did it great. Because at the beginning the bikes was not the best. Mm-hmm. My first race with the Meta V5 was IWS in the past, mm-hmm. and it was in Scotland in 2022, and I finished 35th, mm-hmm. so I was super disappointed about this kind of result, and after that we worked a lot on the bike, on the setting, on my fitness also, on my riding. And we finished by winning the year winning a race. So it was my first World Cup winning, mm-hmm. And in 2023, we finished third overall. And this year, I finished world champion. So yeah,
that's pretty good. It's pretty good history, huh?
Yeah.
So how is it for you to grow up in the bike industry or in the bike scene in France, where you have so many good riders since years or since decades? I mean, it goes all the way back to Nico Voyot, and there is always a French rider on the podium. And
yeah, exactly. The first one was Jérôme Clemens, who won the first ever EWS overall.
Yeah, and, yeah, but also also in Downhill and all the other gravity mountain bike.
MTB in general also.
Yeah.
So this when you're looking cross country.
Yeah. this is so crazy. I mean, there are the Frenchies are there since ever. And how is it to grow up as a little Alex and have these idols and see that your country is doing so well in the sport?
It's really inspiring, like looking at Nico Vuyoz, who was one of the best for a decade. Mm-hmm. And you just have to look at him and say, okay, he's working so much, he's the best on what he does, so I want to do the same. Mm-hmm. And also because I begin my first team in enduro was with the Ravanel, Cédric and mm-hmm. Cécile. So I was also really inspired by Cécile,
yeah,
who is a big, big champion. So yeah, it's pretty cool to have this kind of people around you and who are showing you the way to go. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm really happy to be part of this French riders.
Yeah, I mean, it can be super inspiring, but on the other hand, it can be also a little bit add some pressure to it. Was it more inspiring for you, or did you feel the pressure to be good when you start racing?
No, I'm not looking about the pressure because mm-hmm. Everyone is different, and yeah. you never know how it will be. So you just have to stay focused on what you like, what you want, and yeah, your main goal, and you just have to, yeah, be inspired by the people who are around you, not be jealous, not be, yes, under pressure about doing the same thing, because you will not doing the same thing. You are doing your own stuff, so it's different.
But did you already realize that you're the guy now who inspires the next generation by winning or being so good in the sport and winning the world champ title?
Yeah. I realized it after the world champion title when I went to a race, a local race in France. And everyone was looking at me like, wow, he's the world champion. And yeah, the rainbow jersey has something special for this. So yeah, it's so good.
That's cool. So when you see, or when I see some videos of you on Instagram and see how good your bike handling is, I mean, you already told that you are coming from trail background. How important is this background for you in enduro?
I think it's everything for me mm-hmm. because I'm also riding with flat pedal. So okay. Yeah, we are not so much to ride in flat pedal in enduro. Mm-hmm. And I have a really good technical style. Who can save me in some parts because of my skills and everything. So yeah, it's something really important who made me, and I can say that I will not be at this level without the skills that I had mm-hmm. before. So yeah.
And do you still ride trail, or is it in your blood already so that you don't have to train this again?
I'm not training specifically in bike trail, but I like to go back on this little bike and have fun on it. But it's like maybe 2 or 3 times per year, so not so much. Now yeah. I'm enjoying more to do trial with my mountain bike, with my enduro bike or my trail bike. So yeah, it's a bit different, but it's also really challenging to do it with the big bike.
Yeah.
So also with my e-bike, I really like to play with the e-bike. So yeah, it's cool. And I began also moto trial since 2 years now, so it's different and I'm learning new things, and I like to learn new things because in bike trial I was at a point that I can't progress anymore without big improvement. So yeah.
Okay. I mean, doing some trial moves with an e-bike, I mean, that means that you can skip gym for the next 2 days, huh?
Exactly, yeah. It's a kind of stuff like this, yeah. You are, e-bike is heavier than a bike trial, like I think three times heavier than a bike trial. So yeah, when you are when you want to move it, it's not the same.
Yeah. So there are certain skills you need to train for, and there are certain skills that comes naturally. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's always a mix. So what are the skills given to you?
The skills that doesn't need so much speed.
Okay.
Like switchbacks, things like this. I'm really good at it because of my bike trial background.
Yeah.
But the other point, it's the jumps, the style, the downhill style.
Yeah.
Where I am not super good. So I worked a lot on it these last years, and now I'm okay, but I'm not the best.
Okay.
So
I mean,
there's
a completely different style from trail to doing high speed jumps or this stuff, huh? I think it's super hard to adapt from one to another, huh?
Yeah, exactly. When I began enduro, I was like super afraid about the speed and going full gas into a straight rocky line. So yeah, it demanding me a bit more time to be good on this kind of stuff. But after, next to that, I was super good in other points, like cornering in grass corner, flat corner, tight corner, the kind of stuff that you just need to move on your bike or not stay super super fit or something like this, because I was not fit for enduro also at the beginning. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's really hard to really train for enduro. It's so, because every race
you
is
need
so
to be,
different, huh?
Yeah, and you need to be good in every point. So yeah. Endurance, techniques, mental, also physical, everything.
What do you think, special in enduro? What do you need more? Do you need more talent, or do you need more the ability to work hard or to train? Can you be a really, really good enduro rider with just working hard?
Yes, for sure, I think.
Yeah?
It's like in everything. If you want something that you are working a lot for this thing, you can be super good on it.
Okay.
So
because I have
talent is nothing. Talent is nothing. It's only about walk.
Is it? Because I have the feeling, especially in enduro, where you need to choose your line so quick and you're not able to learn the track like the downhill guys do. You really need to be super quick in your head, and then you need to adapt to every trail, to every terrain, to every weather. So quick.
Yeah, but this is not talent. This is just training and work on your mental and skills.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. For sure,
for some people, it will be easier to learn some stuff.
Yeah.
So you can call it talent if you want.
Yeah.
But it's just about this, because you are going faster on a learned process than the other guy. But yeah, if you're not working, you will not learn it like this. Not in the bed.
Okay. So in the end, it's just hard work. And
Not especially hard, but good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when we talk about your 2024 season, it all started with arm injury in the end of last year. So
yeah,
how was it for you to get diagnosed with this kind of injury or problem?
It was super hard. Sorry, I don't remember the name of what I had in English.
Thrombose.
Ah, yeah, thrombosis. Yeah. So it was hard to find it at the first time, because no one thought I can have a thrombosis with my profile, and even more in the arm. So yeah, we took like 4 days to find it was a thrombosis. So it was a bit scary. And after that, I had a big treatment, anticoagulant, for 3 months. So when you are taking this kind of treatment, you can't take any risk, because if you crash, your blood can totally goes out of your body in 2 or 3 seconds. So you have to be super careful, and also don't hit the head because of the hemorrhage. So it was frustrating a bit, because I planned some travel, some races at the end of last year that I couldn't do, like Megavalanche of La Réunion and stuff like that. And also because of you don't know if the thrombosis will go in 3 months, or if it will take more. If you will stay like under treatment all your life. So was quite.
I mean, this is strange. This is probably super hard, huh? I mean, if you have a broken arm or a broken leg, then you know that will go away. I mean, that happened to other riders so often. But when you have something like this and you don't really know, will it go away? Will I be able to race again? When will I be able to start training again? What does that make with you mentally? Because I think mentally is the big problem, huh?
Big problem and also big help.
Okay.
So and the worst also was to don't know from where it came. At the beginning we were like, you had a thrombosis, but we don't know why, and this is a problem. Because if it's genetic, you have to take pills for your life, and this will not be a good thing for me, because I will have to stop my career and stop to do bikes at this level. So it was super hard. The first weeks were like Yeah, really sad moments.
Mm-hmm.
I was frustrating. I was, yeah, asking me why I have this, and trying to do other things, to don't think about it. I was going in the mountain, walking, hiking, and just to go out and don't
Yeah.
think about the treatment, don't think about what it will happen after. Just take life day by day. And yeah, it was also a good moment to think about myself, my life, and what can I do if I will stop bike or something like this. So yeah, it was not easy, but it was also a good in another way, because yeah, you are just challenging your mind, yourself, and it's always good to challenging you.
Definitely, yeah. Did you already had a plan B? What would you do when you're not able to race again?
Yeah, I was looking to go back to where I came. So it's I am a MTB coach. So I was, yeah, thinking about to be back at this kind of work.
Yeah.
And yeah, just stop racing or yeah.
Yeah. So luckily,
be safe here.
Yeah. Luckily, you didn't have to make this call, and you can postpone the coaching stuff for the next 5 or 10 years, and then you're
yes,
and you're still good to coach. Coming from this kind of like a little weird injury, and then you have this the season coming up. I mean, you went to New Zealand to get back on the bike or to ride. Was that the plan before you got this diagnosis to go to New Zealand, or was it like, okay, I need to get back on my bike in the sun?
We plan it during the thrombosis, during the treatment and everything, because at the beginning, as I told you, we were supposed to go to Mega Avalanche of La Réunion. So we delayed our ticket, our flight, and we can just adjust the fly from La Réunion to go to New Zealand. So we decided to go there because yeah, it's a really good place to train during winter, and for the bike it's super good. So I was not sure that I could go in New Zealand until 3 days before,
okay,
because I had the result of the diagnostic of the thrombosis 3 days before.
Okay,
so
that's
yeah,
crazy.
It was a bit stressful for that. I was like, I want to go to New Zealand, but I have to check with the doctor if it's okay before. And 3 days before to fly, I had the good news that I can be back to my normal life. So it was super good.
I mean, when you see most of the other European riders who stay in the whole winter in Europe and not travel to the sun, they go a lot to the gym, they do quicker rides, they be a lot of the home on the home trails. But how important is it for you to really go out in the winter and having long days on the bike and a lot of bike time?
The most different thing that I thought, it was not the sun or something like this, but it was more about the trails, because in New Zealand it was the end of the summer when we went there. So the trails were destroyed, the bike park was open, so we could do laps like in summer in Europe.
Yeah.
And this was the most important, because in Europe you can ride during the winter, you can go to Spain, you can go to Finale, but it's different. It's not bike park, it's not this kind of riding that you need before to begin the season. So yeah.
Yeah, especially when you, I mean, you already told us that you're not so good in the super fast stuff and in the jumps, and probably when you go to Spain or you stay in the home trail, then you do more like enduro loops, whereas not so much speed or so much jumps, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I did a bit in Spain in the bike parks, but when you are going to Finale, you don't have this kind of trail. So, yeah, it was really good, and I don't remember how many times we spent on the bike in New Zealand, but it was crazy. And also the descending parts. Yeah, we did a lot of lap, and it was so good.
I mean, in the normal year, when your season goes quite long, and then you plan to head this race in La Réunion, and if you would go then to New Zealand and have a full winter of riding, is there a chance to burn out by riding so much? I mean, is it hard sometimes to figure out how much can I ride in the winter to be fit in the summer without burning out?
Yeah, you just have to adapt your program and to plan some recovery time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did just after the World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped 2 weeks. And then I went back to training to prepare Mega Avalanche of La Réunion this year.
Yeah.
And after the Mega Avalanche, I will stop again 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And after that, you rebuild something to prepare the next year. So yeah, it's not about riding in New Zealand or riding a lot during winter. You just have to figure out when you want to stop, when you have to stop also.
Yeah.
You have to listening your body, listening your mental, because sometimes you just don't want to go to ride because it's too much. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Will you go to New Zealand or to any sunny place this winter again?
Not New Zealand, but I'm looking to race in Andes Pacifico in Chile.
Ah,
so yes, it will be sunny there, I think. So
yeah,
I will looking for this. I'm not sure actually, because it's really, really early. It's middle of January.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
but it's such a good event, I think.
Yes. It's been a long time they didn't do the event, and I'm really looking for this kind of event. It looks so nice. Chile looks incredible to ride, and people looks also amazing. So yeah.
Yeah. Do you like this kind of events where you stay multiple days on the race and sleeping every night in a different location?
I never did it, so yes, I'm looking for this. It's something special also, because you don't have training, so it's only blind stages, and that's something that I really like.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I can like this kind of races. I will also check to go to Transmadeira or races like this, so yeah.
Yeah, this, I really love these kind of events, and it's so different to a World Cup race or something, where you have 2 days, or you have training and then 2 days of racing, but a full week of blind racing It's so crazy.
And it's enduro by nature. So yeah.
So good. Now I want to talk to you about the World Championship this year in Kanazai. So, is there any different feeling showing up on the World Cup race in the team jersey or showing up on the World Championship in the national jersey?
Yes, it's always different, you know, when you are riding for your team in the World Cup, that you have few races, and to race a World Championship, it's one day. Mm-hmm. You are riding for France, and it's a kind of extra pressure also.
Yeah.
Because of the one day race and all the media around this race, all the people who are looking at this race, and yeah, it's something really special.
Yeah. But how was the vibe at this event? Because they in the past there have been the Enduro of Nations, which was kind of the same, but the format was completely different, but you were also presenting your country. But the World Championship this year was it wasn't a team race, it was just you with a lot of pressure. So is there any different vibe to it?
Yeah, for sure. Trophy of Nation was something really funny, really
was more
cool,
like a party race, huh?
Exactly, because you are riding with your friends, and World Championship was more like serious. Mm-hmm. You are alone. It's more formal stuff.
Yeah. Was it more serious? More serious than a World Cup race?
No, I think it was the same. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much the same. Yeah, preparations, and it's just because of the pressure of the rainbow jersey that you can feel something different, but it's not more serious or not, because on a World Cup you are super serious also.
Yeah, but I mean it's so crazy that this one day can completely change your career, huh? And this is, I mean, that happened to the downriders in the past, that someone won the World Championship by accident and it completely changed your career. So it's there must be so much pressure on your shoulders, especially if you are in the position you are, where you're always capable to win. So that's crazy. And especially this year, where the weather wasn't so good. I mean, it was super cold, it was snowing, and they changed the racetracks, and they shortened the racetracks. How mentally hard was it to not know exactly how the race will be?
For me, it's something like I don't thinking about this too much.
Mm-hmm.
I just take the race how it is, because if you are thinking about they are short on the stages, or they don't do this or that, you are just going in a bad mood. So mm-hmm. you can't change what they don't want to change. So mm-hmm. you just have to adapt yourself and accept what they are doing. So yeah. So yeah.
And
it's
how?
Just stay in a good way, in a good mood, and ride as you can.
Yeah.
So they changed the tracks. I was okay, we will see the new tracks and it will be okay.
Yeah. I mean, since you really like to race blind, and I mean, this is a original way of enduro to race the race course blind. Is that what makes you a little bit chill, because you know you can adapt to new tracks so fast?
Yes, but we were not blind on the World Championships.
So no, of course. But I mean, a lot of people went to Kansai before to train the tracks, or have been there the last couple of years, and they know how the tracks probably will be. I mean, they don't know exactly, but they probably know how they will be. And if you have, I mean, you will never, if you have just one training run, you can't remember all of it. But if you know that you're capable to race blind, or you can adapt to tracks so fast, that must be then a little bit easier, huh?
Yes, for sure. And it's something that I don't really like, to know the tracks perfectly. And it's because even from training to race, the track is changing because of the people who are riding it and destroy the track. So I'm just focusing on some points and to know the basic of the track, but not knowing perfectly the track. And because you have to adapt your riding during the stage, during the day. So it's good to be good on blind stage because of that. Yeah. You can adapt yourself and improve new line at the last moment.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. How was the race for you?
It was when I began the day, I was in a really good mood. Like I want to win the first stage and just extend the margin on the other. Like I won my three first national title. So I was in this mind, in this kind of mood, and it's what I did. But not exactly what I wanted, because in the first stage I crashed one time and I went off track one time also. So I was so frustrated about my riding and the mistake that I did. And when I arrived at the bottom, I was riding and telling me, "Why you did that, Alex?" I knew that the first stage was one of the best for me, super technical, and it was the stage where I could take some marge on the other rider. So with the mistakes, I was like, "No, Alex, come on." and Greg Callaghan come next to me in the liaison and tell me, "Good job, Alex." I was, "Why?" "Because you won the stage with 3.5 second of margin, Richie." I was like, "What?" And I was even more frustrated when he told me that, because I was so disappointed about myself and what I did. I was like, "Come on, you without the mistakes, I could be 10 seconds ahead of the guys." And
you could have already won this thing.
Yes, exactly.
So the home.
And I was so disappointed and telling me, "That's bad, Alex." But it's something really strange, and people maybe can't understand it, because I won the stage, so I can be happy about it, but no, I can't. So after that I did a super good race, good stages without a lot of mistakes, and and I won the four first stages and extend the margin all the day, and I was 24 seconds ahead Richie before the last stage, so I was pretty safe.
Yeah,
because last stage was 3 minutes, something like this. So to lose 24 seconds and 3 minutes, it's super hard, or you have to have problem or crash really bad. So yeah, it was really good for me to have this kind of margin, and I could manage my last stage, even if I don't really like to manage too much, because when you are in control, when you are too much controlling what you are doing, sometimes you are going out of your mind and of your focus. So two times during the stage, I was feeling that I was out of my riding style, and I told me, Alex, stay focused till the line, go to the line, the finish line. And yeah, it happened. I crossed the line, and I knew that I won the title.
Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty cool moment, huh? When all the people running to you and already know that you won the title. Was it like a relief that you finally, that all the work you put in it for years finally paid off?
Yeah, exactly. You cross the line, you know that you won the title, and everybody jump on you, all the team, my family were also there, so it was so cool to share this moment all together. And also my mom was not at the finish line. She was on the stage to keep pushing me during the stage. So I saw her just after that everybody jumped on me. I saw her coming from the finish line, and I was, why she's coming from here? But yeah, it was so cool, and yeah, so emotional also.
That's so nice. So good. So enduro is a sport of constant change. I mean, this year it changed that there is an official world championship, and the format changed a lot, and there always are improvements in the sport. From the days when we started to race EWS to now, it's a completely different format, I would say. So what would you like to, what would you like enduro to be in the next years?
What I wanted is to be back at the roots of enduro, to go in nice trails in the mountain, explore the world also, because actually we are staying in Europe, and that's not a world cup for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to be back in Chile, in Colombia, in New Zealand, in Tasmania, and yeah, just enjoying the best tracks of the world that we can do. So yeah, I hope we will have this kind of things, and that's why also I want to race Andes Pacifico, Transmadeira, and other races like this.
Yeah,
because it's for me the base of the sport. So yeah, the best for me, it will be to race a blind stage in World Cup, but this is not possible actually. So yeah,
okay, so that sounds really good, and would be really, really great to have a real World Cup again, where you travel around and racing on different continents, but also meeting different cultures and bringing the sport we all love to different regions, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And for that, I'm going to India in the next weeks to race an enduro, Asia Enduro Series. So, that's something cool that I'm really looking for.
nice. See something what an new. Adventure.
Yeah, yeah, it will be so nice, I think.
So cool.
Hey, discover new places, discover culture, everything.
Nice. Alex, thanks a lot for your time. It was a pleasure to talk to you, and I wish you all the best for next season, for La Réunion, and of course for Asia Enduro Series. And hopefully we will meet here again and talk about your next season and about your goals. So thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks to you. Thanks to host me. And see you. See you bye on bye. The bike.
Yeah, definitely. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.